I was planning to go at 6:45, but I slept right through my laundry.
Okay, so I just want to thank everyone very, very much for coming to discuss a little bit of Hakara Sato, Ben Blumenthal, Adam Lauer, and Eli Markovici, who put in a tremendous amount of effort thinking of the idea of getting together to learn on Hoshana Rabbah, and then thinking of Rabbi Simon, reaching out to Rabbi Simon and the food. And, you know, whenever you have an idea, then there's so many different things. You find out, you book something, and then there's something else going on in the same space, you know, 2 minutes before. But really, it's a tremendous amount of effort. So, Yashar Koach, really thank you. Tiskul Mitzvos, and may we all merit to come together, to learn together many, many times, and to keep growing and learning from each other. One of the things that for me personally has always been a source of great inspiration is meeting Torah personalities who are on a whole other level than I am. You know, they know much, much more. They're so much more kind, so much more humble. It's an amazingly inspirational experience. And I've had the privilege of knowing Rabbi Simon for many years because I grew up in Washington Heights, next to the yeshiva. Rabbi Simon was always a pillar in the Beis Medrash. I remember when I must have been a teenager, seeing Rabbi Simon sitting all the way up front in the Beis Medrash at that table, learning long, long hours with stacks of svarim. Conversing with some of the lions, some of these superstars in the yeshiva who have since gone on to all sorts of great achievements. Was it Hochberg? Who was Hochberg's Habusa? There were tremendous people, Rabbi Sabolovsky, Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Feldman, lots of amazing Torah scholars, and I've always been awed by Rabbi Simon's level of knowledge, his absolute mastery of all parts of Torah, from Gemara to Halacha to Chassidus, to his tremendous humility. If you look at Rabbi Simon Svarim, he's quoting and quoting and quoting. He's not saying his own original ideas. He's just saying, oh, there's this, there's that. It all comes together in a very beautiful way. And Rabbi Simon's enormous accessibility. Whenever we have a Shiloh, we call him. He's answering the phone all the time, answering Shilohs from all over the world. So it's really very humbling to be able to have Rabbi Simon here in our shul to teach us about the topic of the international dateline. We just read on Koheles, on Kol Zman, the Eis L'Kol Chefer, Prachas HaShemayim, everything has a time. Well, there's a season. So to be able to figure out the timing, you know, what's the date? Is it today Shabbos? Today Sunday? Is it possible that I could, you know, walk across the street and it's Sunday, walk back across the street and then it's Shabbos? Is such a thing even imaginable? So that's certainly a very fascinating topic, and so it's a tremendous privilege to have Rabbi Simon and to learn from this.
Bishus Harav Reichman, Bishus Harav Reichman Sr. as well. It's a tremendous chus to be here to share some Divrei Torah, Leil Hoshana Rabbah. It's the, Machlokas, when the Gemar HaChasima is it on Hoshana Rabbah? Is it Shmini Atzeres? It's one of these days, or unless you hold it's Hanukkah, like the Hasidish Sfarim write. But okay, but it, whatever it is, it's always a big schus to be able to learn together some Divrei Torah, and the Kavat Tarich is one of my favorite topics. I think it's apropos in the Sefer. There's a Sefer called Pardes Yosef. Pardes Yosef was a Rabbi Mandelbaum, who was the librarian in YU, used to tell me that he was a businessman. He was a balabas, the Pardes Yosef. And he wrote Svarim al Chumash on Bracious, Shmois, and Vayikra. And then somehow by Midbar and Devarim, we don't have. So someone else, Rabbi Mandelbaum, was the librarian in YU from 1948 to 1998, for 50 years. He was a Berish Mandelbaum. And he has a nephew, lives in Eretz Yisrael, who writes many Sfarim. So he took it upon himself to write his own Sefer on Bamidbar and Dvarim in the style of the old Pardes Yosef, and they called it Pardes Yosef HaChodesh. So he says an interesting vort. He quotes, I think, from a certain Ger Chassid that brings them down. He says there's a minag in all the old Svarim. And this maybe you could do at the table. On this is a topic you could probably do at the table on Shmini Atzeres. Every family should do this. There's a minag to try to tie in the last pasuk in the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. The minhag in all the Sfarim. And so where does it come from? So in that Sefer Pardes Yosef HaChadosh, he brings down, I think from a Ger Chassid, that he said, because he stakel baraiso bara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah. He looked in the Torah, and he created the world. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. Stakel baraiso bara alma. So Memela, he says, if he stakel baraiso bara alma, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he looked in the Torah, so then the Torah must be circular. Because if the world is an ogul, it's a circular, so the Torah must be a circle. Because he stakel baraiso bara alma. So Memela, the end of the Torah, always has to be tied in back to the beginning like a circle. And that's the and that's how he explains the minhag of the Svarim, to try to always tie in the end of the Torah to the beginning. And that, Mabosai, is the core of this discussion of the international dateline. Because take a look at the tables here. You have circular tables. So when you have a circular table, so who's at the head of the table? You know, anyone, we could say this is the head of the table, we could say that's the head of the table. There's no place to say what's the head of the table. You know, my little 6-year-old son, he's very into looking up the weather on my wife's phone. He looks up the weather and the times. And he always says, you know, what time it is in Yerushalayim now? What time is it? So now in Yerushalayim, what time is it? So it's 7:58 p.m. here in Englewood, New Jersey. And in Eretz Yisrael, what is it? 2:58. So 3 a.m. just about in... so they're seven hours, what? Ahead. But Mehechi Tasi. In other words, it's definitely not 7:58 there, but they're 7 hours ahead, but maybe they're 17 hours behind. In other words, 3:58, right, in other words, it's getting mornings, so they're the right, we're always assuming they're the morning ahead, but they could have been 17 hours behind us, right? Because from that part of the... So how do we know Meheri Taisi, who's ahead of who? It was definitely, it's definitely not 7:58 there, because the way it is there, it's about to get light, the beginning of the morning. But Meheri Taisi, that it's ahead of us, maybe it's behind us. Because whenever you have a circle, so who's to decide what's the beginning? In other words, if you look from a different perspective, Eretz Yisrael is about to become light, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it had to be that Eretz Yisrael is ahead of us. It could have been behind us. So the whole discussion of the international dateline is to discuss, so where does the halacha decide which is the beginning of, in other words, the 24-hour circle, but who's at the beginning point, and who's at the second point, and third point, and who's at the very end? And technically, it could have been anywhere, right? In other words, it could be anywhere in the globe. Technically, it could be the first shkia of the next day, or it could be the last shkia. Wherever you decide, this is just like the table over here. You could say that this is the beginning. This is the second, third, and you go around this way. Or you could have made the cutoff point someplace else. So where does halacha decide where is the cutoff point to decide what is the beginning, the first shkia of the day is in which location? Because again, just because it's 3 a.m. in Eretz Yisrael didn't necessarily mean that it has to be 3 a.m. ahead of us. It could have been 3 a.m. behind us. So it must be that there's a certain point in the globe that we're going to say this is the beginning, and then there's the first place, then second, third, and we go around. But we could have drawn the line another place, and then it would have been different. So where does it say in the Chumash? Where does it say in the Torah what the beginning is? And this is a tremendous thing. We will welcome Dr. Danishevsky, a good friend of mine. It's always a big cover to share Divrei Torah in the presence of Dr. Danishevsky. So that is the discussion of the international dateline, of where's the beginning, and where is the end, and if you would draw one step further, it would make as I said, Eretz Yisrael is 3 a.m. now in the morning. Didn't necessarily have to be 3 a.m. Ahead of us. It could have been, they're 7 hours ahead. They could have been 17 hours behind. And that's what we have to figure out. Does the halacha, the halacha must have some place to decide. Just like in the secular world, they had to have a nimnu v'gonru, where it is. Because in the secular world, they also have to know. They have records of all the business transactions. So did it happen on a Tuesday, or did it happen on a Wednesday? And so they have to decide where the line is, And there was a famous historical thing of the Mir Yeshiva, of when they were in Japan, and my father, Alav HaShalom, was in the Korean War. And he always told me that Zedek Nishmas Avi Mori and Yaakov Ben Yisrael Pinchas and Daniel Sheinabas Yoshua Falak. He always told me that when in the Korean War, whenever they would take the soldiers on a day off, they would give them a day off once in a while, a recreation. They would take them overnight and they would take them to Japan as a chofesh, a little break. So this is the discussion, and it doesn't seem that there's any pasuk in Chumash that tells us this. So how do we deal with this? And this is and for us it's very important to know when is Shabbos. You know, when is Shabbos? You're traveling throughout the world. When is Shabbos? Well, so there is a sugya in Masechta Rosh Hashanah on Chaf Amid Beis. And we can spend the whole night, if we had time, just on this Chaf Amid Beis. So I'm going to try to pinpoint the important points that you should understand what's going on. So the Gemara is discussing when Rosh Chodesh could be. We know that the Molad, we always announce in the shul, the Molad. So the Molad is when the moon is between the earth and the sun. So that's the Molad. And so the Gemara says over here, let's start with the line that begins Nolad, a little bit further down where I put the bracket. The first word in the line is Nolad. Nolad kodem chatzos v'yadua shenira somloch l'shkia sachama. That if the Molad is going to be before chatzos, before midday in the daytime, it's going to be before midday. So we know, the Rashi explains, that for 6 hours after when the Molad takes place, you're not going to be able to see the moon for the first 6 hours. So it'll take 6 hours before the moon, because it's when it's going to be mamish exactly between the earth and the sun, you won't be able to see it. Wait 6 hours, and you'll be able to see it. So if the Molad took place after Chatzos Hayom, say we're assuming a day, say the standard day, that the day starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 6 p.m. That's the standard classical day in the Gemara, you know, the average day of the... So if it's going to first, the Molad is taking place, that the moon is going to be between the earth and the sun and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, say. So if it's going to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so then for 6 hours, we're not going to be able to see it. So then it's only going to be able to be seen when? 8 p.m. 8 p.m., it's already the next day. So then today is not going to be Rosh Chodesh. But if it's Nolad what? Kodem. If it's Nolad Kodem, Katzos Hayom. So let's say it's 10 o'clock in the morning. So then 6 hours you won't be able to see it. But if by 4 p.m. you'll be able to see it. And then this day technically we'll be able to, if the Eidim come and say we saw the moon, it'll be Rosh Chodesh. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. However, the Baal Hamor, and the lighting here is the best lighting for the Baal Hamor, but the Baal Hamor has another pshat in the Gemara, and the Baal Hamor bases it on the line before, where the Gemara says Kisolik on back to page 1. Kisolik Rav Zeir Shaloch Lo Tzorach Shehei Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh. In other words, you need, in order for this day to qualify as a possibility to be Rosh Chodesh, so the new moon has to be able to be seen already. In other words, if you would see the old moon at any part of the 24-hour part of the day, then already it will be disqualified, as this day can't be Rosh Chodesh. So you need that the new moon will be seen in this day. But if the old moon will be seen any part of the day from the night before, even, that will disqualify this day. Oh, so says this, let me say it outside, then I can show it to you inside. To what the Baal Hamor says. He says like this. We want to know, say, the moon in in Yerushalayim, right? So he says, so say the moon in Yerushalayim is sometime during, you can say it's sometime during the day, but it could only, this particular day only will be Rosh Chodesh, say in Yerushalayim, if there is a possibility that somewhere in the globe, in the whole world, that the new moon will be already seen at the beginning of the previous night. So if the new moon will be already at the previous night, so then this day, somewhere in the earth, this day will be what? Will be Rosh Chodesh. Let me explain it clearer. So you come away, you'll understand how the Baal HaMor learned this Gemara. He says like this. We discussed before. You have these tables here. They're circular. So what's the head of the table? Like what's the head of the world? In other words, in the globe, who is the first place in the earth that when it's Shkia in this place, that's the first place of the new day? So we have a globe 360 degrees, 24 hours. So where who's number one? Is Yerushalayim number one? So he says, so the Baal HaMor explains like this, that Yerushalayim of the 360 degrees is going to be, they're going to be 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. That's going to be number one. Okay? And Yerushalayim is 90 degrees. So out of the 360, Yerushalayim is not going to be number one. 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim is going to be number one. And then Yerushalayim is pretty good. It's not number one, but it's up there. And then going around the rest of the globe, there'll be what? There'll be another 360 minus 90 is what?
70.
What?
270.
270. So there'll be another 270 degrees of the earth that's behind Yerushalayim. So Memela, Yerushalayim will be, in other words, as a 24-hour period, Yerushalayim will be the sixth hours. In other words, out of 24, Yerushalayim, it's 6 hours, and there'll be 18 hours after. 18 hours after. So in other words, so of the 24 hours, who's coming first? Yerushalayim is up there. It's going to be the sixth hour of, is going to be. So the Memela, so there's going to be up to 18 hours behind Yerushalayim. So if the new moon is, the Molad is seen, if the Molad is in Yerushalayim at before Chatzos, so that means that there's a place in the world that's 18 hours behind. And the Mela, if it's 18 hours behind, then when the Molad gets over there, then it's going to be totally, in that place, is going to be totally the new moon. Because if you're before, say, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. So 10 o'clock in the morning, so you had 4 hours in the morning, you have another 12 hours from in the night. So the day, the night is 12 hours, the morning is 12 hours. So Memela, if the new moon is the Molad in Yerushalayim is, say, at Chatzos Hayom, so that means it'll be 6 hours of people behind, another 12 hours of people behind, because it's 18 hours. In 18 hours, the Yerushalayim is number six out of the 24 hours. So there's 18 hours behind. So the Mela, if you go
to the end of the world around, there'll be one place in the world that didn't start yet, the Molad, until the previous Shkia. Because if you're number six, out of 24, that means there's going to be somebody 18 hours behind you. And Mamela, it could be Rosh Chodesh, since in one place in the world, it's going to be totally from the Mol, is the new moon will be at the Shkia, so then it will be a total, the new moon started at the beginning. You see, Yerushalayim, it didn't start at the beginning. It only say 10 o'clock in the morning. It was the Molad, when the earth was between. So that might be too late, but the Baal HaMor says no. When the Gemara says Nolad Kodum Chatzos, if the Molad is any time before Chatzos, so that means that there'll be a place in the world that won't have the Molad until either before Shkia or at Shkia, and therefore it'll be totally with the new Molad, and then this day could be Rosh Chodesh in Yerushalayim. But say it happened 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Say it happened 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? So 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so that means how many hours is that going to be? Say it happened 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Yerushalayim. So then you're going to have 3 hours after Chatzos. You're going to have from 6 to 6, another 6 hours before Chatzos, and then the whole night before. That means, so then that's going to be how many hours? 3, 6 is 9, and 12 is what? 21. Then there's not going to be any place in the world where the Molad started before Shkia the previous night. Because again, Yerushalayim is number 6. Yerushalayim is number 6 of the 24 hours. So if number 6 happens before Chatzos, there'll be places, or at Chatzos, there'll be a place that's to the opposite extreme that will be 18 hours behind. And as long as if it's 18 hours behind at Shkia or before Shkia, there'll be those places that will be totally, when Shkia came, the Molad was already there in that place. But if the Molad is later in the afternoon, then it's going to be later. And Mamele won't be one place in the world, because if Yerushalayim is number 6 out of the 24, then there's no place in the world. If it's after Chatzos, so that means you need at least 18 hours. You need 18 hours for the guy who comes in last place. If the guy who comes in last place is 18 hours, so then that place will have a total. The Molad will be at the Shkia. So then, once one place in the world that'll be at the Shkia, then this day is right to be Rosh Chodesh. But if in Yerushalayim, where they made the Bezdin, they could declare this as Rosh Chodesh. But if the Molad is only seen afterwards, then there won't be any one place in the world that will have the Molad before the beginning of the day. And that's, if you want to see it inside, again, it's not so easy to see, but Kisolik on page 2, Kisolik Rav Zeir Omer Tzorch She'elayla V'yom and Achadosh Klomer Einanu Kovim Hayom Rosh Chodesh El Inkein Hayab Bo Hamolad Mitchilas Halayla B'mokom Echad Mimkoymois Hayishuv Aval Pisha Einan Molad Niskon Ela Adyudches Shos Ve'in Lonu Menachodesh Ela Sheish Shos Anu Motzi Mokom Echad She'ish Bo Layla V'yom Menachodesh. And then he goes ahead and explains because Yerushalayim is number 6 and they're 18 hours behind. And that's the shita of the Baal HaMor. And so it comes out, now the way Rashi learned the Gemara has nothing to do with that. Right? Rashi learned the Gemara that has to be 6 hours Nolad Kodem Chatzos, because you don't see the moon for 6 hours. So if it's Nolad Kodem Chatzos, you'll see the moon 6 hours, and therefore in this location,
it'll be seen six hours later. It'll be before Shkia. It's good. If you see it after Chatzos Hayom, and from Chatzos to Shkia is only 6 hours, you won't be able to see it till after Shkia, so it won't be good. But it's nothing to do with this whole interesting cheshbon is the way the Balamor learns the Gemara and what he calls the Sod HaIbur. And so the whole Yisod of the Balamor is explaining this Gemara is that's where the international date line is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim is the date line, and that's where the line is. That's where the line is. So anyone on the other side of the line will be what? Will be at the end. Because again, Yerushalayim is not number one. It's number six of the 24 hours. 90 degrees. Because if 90 degrees is every 15 degrees is another six hours. 16... 15 times 6 is 90 degrees. So let me explain it even clearer. The best way to explain things is to show a map on page 20. So this map is from the Star K on page 20 here. And it says like this. He doesn't use the word Balhamor. They probably should have used the word Balhamor. They used the word Chazonish. Okay, but where that line is called Chazonish, that's the 90 degrees. You see, your Jerusalem line. That's where Yerushalayim is. But Yerushalayim is not the beginning. It's 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Again, the left of the map is the west. The other side is the east. So according to the Baal HaMor, let's just think according to the Baal HaMor, if that's where the line is, so anybody on the other side of the line, on the right side of the line, is going to be at the very end. Anyone at the left side of the line will be at the very beginning. So there are three possibilities of when Shabbos could be. Shabbos could either be on, it's like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, there are three possibilities when Shavuos could be. Pa'am Hei, Pa'am Vav, Pa'am Zayin. So the same thing of Shabbos. We always think, you know, ain't going to work on Saturday. It's a din on Saturday. But it's not true. It's not a din on Saturday. It's only a din on Saturday. See, if you look in the what we call here the civil international dateline. So if you're on the same side of the left of the civil and of the Chazanish line, which is the Balamor's line, then you'll have Shabbos on Saturday because you're working on the same side as the international secular dateline. And so, say for example, if you're here in China, right? Look in China. So China is the what? Is on the left side of the civil international dateline. It's the left of the Chazanish, which is really the Baal HaMor, right? So then Shabbos will always be in China on Saturday because you're on the same side as the secular dateline. But say, for example, let's take, look in Australia, okay? So if you look in Australia, so in Australia, most of it is what? On the other side, right? It's to the right of the Chazanish, of the Baal HaMor, but it's to the left of what? Of the civil. So Memela, so when is Shabbos, according to this, again, the way we're explaining it now, when should Shabbos be this part of Australia, say the major chunk of Australia, when should it be?
Sunday.
Because Shabbos is not going to be till the very, it just missed, you know, It's like when your child is born in a certain time, you know, for school, you miss the cut, of, and he's going to be in the next class, you know, depending upon when he was born, right? So the same thing. It just missed the cut. And take a look on when it comes to, let me see if I have a clearer picture of Japan. Here, take a look. Take a look here on page, which page is this? On the next page, 21. So Japan is that island right off of China, right? So Japan is not, you know, it looks so close. My father told me when he was in, you know, in Korea, but on the same basis as China. And he said it was a whole night boat ride to get to China, to get to Japan when they were, you know, in Korea for the war, when they gave the American soldiers their day off. It was a whole night that they went on the boat till they got to Japan, and then they had their chofesh for the day in Japan. So Japan, right over there, that island, is not attached to China, so it just misses the cut. So if you're a pure Balamor person, so then when will you have Shabbos in Japan? You'll have it on Sunday, because it's on the other side of the day. It's at the very end. So the very end, you'll have it on on Sunday. And that was the Shita of the Chazon Ish to the Mir Yeshiva. Chazon Ish is unbelievable, because the Chazon Ish was totally independent. You know, there was a whole delegation of Asif and Yerushalayim to discuss what should the Mir Yeshiva be doing when they were in Japan. What should they be doing? When should they be keeping Shabbos? And many of them, these were Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer and others, had this Asifa. And the Chazon Ish did not attend this Asifa. He was in Bnei Brak. And he was totally independent. If you read the biography, the book by Professor Brown, that was the book on the Chazon Ish. He writes a whole chapter of the Chazon Ish and his psak for the Dateline. He says this was the first time that the Chazon Ish came out public. Chazon Ish was Nechbal al Akelim. You know, Rav Golvich Zatzal, Rosh Hashivim Kerbi Avner, Rav Mordechai Cohen told me once, he said Chazon Ish never spoke publicly. He was a very quiet, very reserved person. He was not, you look at the art scroll, Rebbetzin Kanievsky book, he says he didn't want a kibud at Rav Chaim, his nephew's wedding, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He didn't want a kibud. He was a very shy, he didn't speak publicly, nothing type of person. You know, it was Masada Kedushin at Rav Chaim's wedding, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Reuven Katz, the Degel Reuven, who was the father of Rav Michal Katz, who was Rosh Hashiva in YU for over 50 years. Rav Michal Katz was his father, the Degel Reuven, was the Rosh Hashiva of Lomja Rosh Hashiva. He was the Masada, he was a Gadol in his own right. But it's interesting. But that's another discussion about different people's personalities and things like that. That's for different thing. So that's what he paskin. He says he paskin Japan when they first, the Mir Yeshiva first came to Japan. So it's out of the Dateline. It's on the other side. So Memela, and now you can go back to our map here on page 20. It's a clearer map. It's just Japan gets a little bit covered over. Yeah, we see Japan here. You see it's an island here where it says Japan, right? So it just missed the cut, but it's on the other side of the Chazon Ish. So it's going to be it's going to be on Sunday. So that's what the Chazon Ish paskin, that they have to keep Shabbos on Sunday. They have to keep Shabbos on Sunday. And for Yom Kippur, the famous letter, the telegram of the Chazon Ish, that year Yom Kippur was what? Was on a Wednesday. So the Chazon Ish says, Ichlu Birvi, Tetsumu V'chamishi. Because he held that Japan was, for Shabbos it was Sunday, so Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur for everyone else is Wednesday. For his sheet is that it was Thursday. So supposedly they asked the Chazon Ish, no, but the rest of the Welt holds on Wednesdays, so we're going to just eat. So supposedly he said, of course, maybe you should be ma'ay pachila, right? Because the rest of the week the Welt is keeping Yom Kippur on Wednesday. He says, but how could you be Mamayit Bachila, the mitzvah Chila of Erev Yom Kippur? Right? Because he held Yom Kippur was Thursday, so there's a mitzvah Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. So Mamela, so he totally held, there was no suffix, this is the Soda Ibor, everyone agrees, even though not everyone agrees that that's a shot in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but he says, this Yisod of the Balamor, of where it is, that's Makubo Lakule Alba. That's the Soda Iber. That's Ongenumen for everybody. And that's what happened originally. The Mir Yeshiva was keeping, like everyone else, they were keeping Shabbos on Saturday. But then they got the telegram. So what happened? So Friday night, the Mashkiach comes into the Beis Medrash. He gives Cheska Levenstein comes into the base measure, gives the klap. Friday night, what's the klap? For Hurachim. Right? She's Hurachim. She's going to be dialing the Vachadika regular Mari, for Hurachim. And then Shabbos morning, Saturday morning, he comes into the base measure with his talis and tefillin on. Because that's. So that was. So that's the Balamor. So what's the big question with the Balamor is in the Sefer called Yisoid Oilam on page 6. The Yisoid Oilam was a Talmud of the Rush. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Yisraeli, the Talmud of the Rush. So he says like this. V'zeh sheker v'hitul gadol. He says he can't understand it misvara, such a thing. And in second arrow he says, ha'yesh ba'olam hitul v'shigon k'mo zeh. In other words, if you say like the Balamor, again, what he quotes here is called the Chazon Ish line. Back to the, he says it seems like a galechta, because if you assume that it goes right through, straight 90 degrees, the way the Balamor says, so then you could, like Rabbi Reichman said before, you could just walk over, you could walk in and out of Shabbos. So he says that seems like a too much of a chiddush. That I could say I'd be standing here in Australia. So on the left side is Shabbos, and then in the middle of Shabbos, I walk over, and it's not Shabbos. Because it's not going to be Shabbos till Sunday on the other side. So he says he can't fathom such a thing. So the Chazon Ish said, So the Balamor, that the Balamor says what he said. And Rab Chaim Zimmerman, in the Agan Hasar, he said, you know, he was a big Eloy, Chaim Zimmerman, one of the big Eloyim of the generation. So he said, so what? Okay, that's what it is. You don't like it? That's where the line is. So you can walk out, you walk in. So what? That's where Shabbos is. Just because you feel you don't like it, that's the line. That's the Soda Yibra. So what the Chazon Ish did was he said no. In other words, he takes into account the Yisoid Olam's kasha, and he says, so must be pshat, the Yisoid Olam is like this. And this is how he paskins. Not pure Baal HaMor. Pure Baal HaMor is it's straight. Pure Baal HaMor is the line is straight, and it falls where it falls. And if you hold, so what do you do? No, what you do is, if you want to be like the Baal HaMor, but with the Yisoid Olam's Hasaga, so this is what you have to do. Take a look here, page 20. Yeah, look at the line on top. What you have to do is take that line. As soon as you hit the continent, you don't go through the continent, but you go on the perimeter of the continent. Say the Asian continent, you go on the perimeter, and then you draw a line on the perimeter. So it goes here with this line, and then you don't go straight through, because he tightened it, it doesn't make sense. So you take it, and you go to the right, and you make a line on the perimeter of the continent, and you go, until you hit Australia, and then you go on the perimeter of Australia, and you go to the right, and you put your line down. Now, the question is, how do you know which way to... In other words, you don't want to cut through the line. So, but which way do you go? Which way do you go? So, the Chazon Ish's shita was, and that's how some explain it, I think Rav Chaim Kanievsky has it, that, which you would think, Australia, maybe you should go to the left. Because most of it, if you go straight... Most of Australia is in the other side. So if you're a purist, like, Baal HaMor, the way Reb Chaim Zimmerman understood, so what? You go straight and let it fall where it falls. But he said no. Whenever there's a continent, the way the Chazon Ish understood, it's always Nitpal to Eretz Yisrael. So even though most of Australia is on the right side, we're going to go and make and incorporate Australia to the side of Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to make the perimeter, not, we could have gone to the left and put Australia on the other side, but we're going to put everything in Australia to the, we're going to go to the right, make the perimeter to the right, and Australia will be incorporated on the left side, on the western side of the world, and Mamela, it will be, so Shabbos will be on Saturday, because it'll be on the same side as the, to the left of the date line, the same side as the secular date. Right.
Is New Zealand also?
Oh, so New Zealand, so let's see New Zealand.
Because it's very close, but it's a different body of land, though.
So right? New Zealand, the Chazon Ish held, yeah, New Zealand is a separate island there. Land, right. So according to the Chazon Ish, it's on Sunday.
Yeah.
According to the Chazon Ish, it's on Sunday. Because I once had a fellow in the yeshiva. He was, someone was dating him, and they were going to go to meet the parents in New Zealand. And... So if you wanted to keep, if you're following the Chazon Ish, so New Zealand would be on Sunday. You'd have to, and if you want to learn Chumrah, then you would keep 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why when he says the Chazon Ish line, that's why it's confusing, because that's not really the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was the Yisoid Olam. So as he takes the Baal HaMor, but then the Yisoid Olam has a taina from the Baal HaMor. So he says that what? That you have to go, don't go in the land, you go around the land, and you go on the perimeter of the land. So anything that is connected to the body of land of the Asian continent will be to the left. But if you're not, you know, it's, as I told you, Japan seems like so close. But I told you, my father told me it was a whole night in the whole boat ride for the took the whole night. But so the map, it looks very close, but still a huge distance. But Lamaisa, it's not connected, so it's on the. So Mamela, Japan is going to be on the other side. So Mamela, it's going to be to the right side of the date line, the left side to the secular date line. So Mamela, it's going to be according to at the very end. So the Mamela is going to be Shabbos on Sunday.
Australia?
Australia, the Chazanish considered the whole Australia to be on the left because it's Nitpal to Eretz Israel. So you hit the line, then you're going to go to the right and co-op Australia to the whole side, and Mamela, therefore, Australia will be when? Be on Saturday. Shabbos will be on Saturday. What?
Japan
will still be on Sunday.
Even though the westernmost part of Australia is even further than Japan by a little bit.
Even though the westernmost part of Australia is further, right. Right, exactly. That's the irony.
Yeah.
So, like, this modified Chazanish approach is actually very close to the civil international date line in a way. There's not that much lack of overlap, really, right?
Well, Japan and New Zealand. Japan and New Zealand would be, and New Zealand, and New Zealand, Japan and New Zealand.
Yeah. But those are the two.
That's the yisod of the Chazanish. So you had the pure Balamor. You have the Chazanish. He says, I'm based on. You look at the Chazanish. You say, I'm based on the yisod Olam. I'm not a pure. Yeah, if you want to find, yeah, take a look up at what page is the Chazanish. On page 7. He says, well, he writes here. So he discusses here the question, and he says on the bottom arrow on the right side, he says, Elak Bekava Tarech Betzeh HaMizrach Be'emtza Yabosha Kein Ma Shehiksha Dlo Yitochen D'Shnei Shechenim Zeh Itzal Zeh Yitzchalku Eki Yishiyosu Elim Shneim Be'yabosha Amu Echad Be'yom Ve'echad Be'yabosha Lo Kasha. Alkein had the Yisod Olam Mefarshta Arazom Muchoch Lchalek as Hayabosha Lekav Hatarech Vaze Yasuvu Kol Akushios. He says, in other words, he says it's not mistaber that on one landmass that it's going to be different, but he's
cruises dock right at the gate, at the shore. People on the cruise might have Sunday Shabbos. People on land may have Shabbos.
Right. Yeah, I mean. But that seems to be the Pashtus. Now, so what's the pshat in the what's the lumdus of the Chazanish of the Balamor? Say, what's the lumdus of the Balamor? So the pasuk in Yechezkel on page 4. Says the pasuk, "Lushlo shalol levos baz lahashiv yadecha alchovos noshoves." Now, am usav migayim osa mikne v'kinyan yoshvei al tabor haaretz. That Eretz Yisrael is considered the tabor, the belly button of the world. So, what do you mean? Because basically, the whole yishuv then was the yishuv of the Asian continent. That was where the Yishuv is. So, Eretz Yisrael is is the middle. So to be the middle, you need 90 degrees one way, 90 degrees the other way, and you're be'emtza. And that's, so beings, in other words, it wasn't, that's the Tabur Ha'aretz. That's the Tabur Ha'aretz. That's the middle, because they weren't, in other words, he wasn't Goreis the whole rest of it. That's the Tabur Ha'aretz, is the middle of the land. Now, it's known that Rav Tukachinsky argued with the Chazon Ish, because Rav Tukachinsky thought that Tabur Ha'aretz means that you take the whole 360 degrees, and therefore, if you take the whole 360 degrees, and then Eretz Yisrael is the center of that, so then the dateline will be 180 east of Eretz Yisrael. So there'll be 180 on one side, 180 on the other side, and Eretz Yisrael is the center. But the other way of doing it is taking, just looking at the Mokom Hayishuv of that, of the Asian continent, and there will be 90 and 90, and Eretz Yisrael will be Tabor Aretz from that perspective.
So when you say
even
here?
Yeah. So it comes like that. Now let's take a look back in the map, and you'll see. And so he has the Rav Tukachinsky line. So Rav Tukachinsky puts the date line 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. So say one famous place where people like to frequent is Hawaii. Right? It's Hawaii. So according to the civil date line, it's at the very end. Right? Because the west is going to be the beginning, the left side of the civil date line, the left, you know, in other words, Hawaii is going to be, according to the Chazon Ish line and the civil line, Hawaii is what? It's to the right, according to both. So if you're on the same side of the line, so it's going to be the same day. So then it's going to be what? When it's according to Chazon Ish, the regular dateline, Hawaii is Shabbos, Saturday. But if you look at Rav Tukachinsky, with his line, Hawaii is to the left. So the left is the very beginning, right? That means the dateline is going to be at 180. So that's going to be the very beginning. The civil dateline is going to be at the very, so then what's the very beginning going to be? Friday. So according to Rav Tukachinsky, the dateline for Hawaii is going to be, because it's just before. So according to Rav Tukachinsky, it's going to be the first place to have Shabbos in the world is going to be Hawaii, because it's to the left of to the west of the dateline. So it's going to be number one. Number one is Friday. Because I told you, the three possibilities are Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. Whereas, according to the Chazon Ish and the others, it's the same side as the secular. Whenever you're on the same side as the secular, then Shabbos is going to be on Saturday. When you're on a different side, it depends. If you're on the left side, then you're going to be early. If you're on the right side, on a different side of the secular dateline, then you'll be. It depends. If you're on the earlier side, you'll be on a Friday. If you're on the later side, you'll be on a Sunday. If you're on the same side as the secular, then you'll be on Saturday. Saturday is the Mutsa. So, according to Rav Tukachinsky, it's Hawaii's on the left, but according to the civil dateline, it's on the right. So, Mamela is Friday. Hawaii's going to be Shabbos on Friday. So, that's what people, a lot of times, people go and take vacations on Friday. They want to know, when should they keep Shabbos? So according to Rav Tukachinsky, you're going to keep Shabbos on Friday. Thursday night, you already have to be boidel mimalacha.
Looking at Tukachinsky saying that that's Shabbos when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, that you have to see the moon by Chatzos here,
No, that's only with the that's only works with the Balamor, that whole Cheshvan. Every once in a while, I get a phone call on a Friday from somebody in Hawaii. They'll call me up on Friday. So I say, really, I should hang up on you now, because it might be Shabbos. But I said, since Meikar Adin, I don't follow Rav Tukhachinsky Shita, so I won't hang up with you. But because if he calls me on Friday, he's speaking to me from, according to Rav Tukhachinsky, he's calling me on Shabbos. He's calling me on Shabbos. So even though it might not be Shabbos for me, but I'm maybe a, it's a, you know, Lifnei Iver to speak to him on the phone when, you know, I'm facilitating his Chil Shabbos, if you hold like Rav Tukhachinsky.
Would you go, are you like wary of going to Hawaii for a Shabbos for that reason?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what used to bother me a lot. What used to bother me a lot was the Pesach programs. You see, Pesach programs, they cost, who knows how much they cost, the Pesach programs. So Mela, at least you want to pay so much money to go away on a Pesach program, at least you want to do the Seder on the right day. You don't want to eat the matzah on the wrong day. So you pay so much money to go to Hawaii for the Pesach program, and you might be eating matzah on the wrong night. So, I don't know if you have to spend so much money to go, you know, on a Pesach, whatever, but at least you want to get the mitzvah. After you spend all the money, at least you want to get the mitzvah. You know, so, but that is Rav Tukhachinsky. As Rav Tukhachinsky learned, Tabor Aretz is from the 360 degrees. Oh. Now, so one second. So we're going to get to all that, right. So, Pashtus is, the Chazon Ish did not care about, you see, I always say, this is a big yisod I always say about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was the ultimate mathematician. In other words, everything had to work out mathematically. And if it works out mathematically, that's the halacha. So it works out mathematically, that's the halacha. Even though somebody like Moshe Feinstein was not the mathematician. He was more about smart. That's why I say, you know, the big difference is like how their approach to Erev. So the Chazon Ish held that you're in a city that's all built up, so all the buildings can, you're in Manhattan, it's all built up, so all the buildings are considered mechitzas. So Meikar Adin, it's a Rishus Yochid Midarais, according to the Chazon Ish. So Rav Moshe couldn't understand that. Manhattan is a Rishus, it doesn't, you know, but Chazon Ish, he was, mathematically, you have mechitzas. So there are millions of people there, and it's Ruchos Ha'amim, so what? Same thing, you see, like the Kasha you asked. You see, according to the Chazon Ish, you know, you say, look at the picture on page 20. You see how much is jutting out the Asian continent? So that part, like someone said, is way to the east of Japan. Yet Japan is going to be included in the east side, and this is going to be considered part of the west side. Right? Because Misvara, you would say the opposite. How could you go with the look how it juts out here, the top of Asia, of the Asian continent. So that part is so jutting out, that he considers the West. That's what goes with the left side. And Japan is much further in, and that's the east side. So again, the Chazon Ish is a mathematician, and that's where the line falls. Okay, he's not a straight Balamor where the line falls right in the middle, but that's where it falls. Misvara, he would say, no, this is so much further to the east, then why should that count as the west? And Japan, which is so further to the west, is you're gonna count that as the east. So, but let me tell you this, Rabose. So, you see, the Chazon Ish also did not necessarily take into account Min HaKamokum. You know, I asked my father, like, when you were in Japan, was anyone who lived in Japan keeping Shabbos on Sunday? I'm not talking about the American soldiers. I'm saying people in the community there, you know, the shuls. That's what Rabbi Ismach once asked me from Great Neck. He says, was there any a community, as in the Bataris, a community, that had a shul there, Bikvias, ever do like the Chazon Ish as a community? He says never. It was never such a thing. So that, in other words, there were people who lived there, and they kept that on. They didn't keep it on Sunday or a thing like that. Because the Minhag HaMakom always was to keep it on Saturday in any place in the world. There was never a community that kept Shabbos as a community. People come, they ask the Shai, they're coming for a Shabbos, they're coming for this. And that's what Rabbi Reichman was saying, that, you know, if you say there's a concept of a Minhag HaMakom, but the Chazon Ish held, that's part of his mathematician. It doesn't matter the Minhag HaMakom. This is where the line is. You're Minhag HaMakom, so you're wrong. It's a Minhag B'Tos. They didn't care.
What about in regards to Dini de Mechusa? I mean, Rabbi mentioned at the beginning of this year in regards to business sales and support today. What about in regards to getting a Kedushin or anything they don't get, or a Kedushin for a destination wedding or a destination given?
Yeah, I mean, the Chazon Ish held what he held for everything.
And he wouldn't take Dini de Mechusa.
Yeah, Dina Malchusa was just arbitrary. They got together and they convened that this is, should be where the line is. But he says that we follow the halacha, and the halacha is the Soda Ibor of the Balamor. It's interesting that usually the Balamor in Gemara always says the most interesting pshatim. But in the end of the day, we never paskin like the Balamor. Like the Balamor's pshat and all the sugyas are always very fascinating, but he always gets. He doesn't make it in the end. Because the Chazon Ish held that this nekuda of the Balamor, it was the Soda Ibor that's mekubal. Now the chiddush of the Balamor is to read it into the Gemara, to say that that's pshat and no la kodem chatzos, no la lacha chatzos, etc. Oh, but there's one or two more nekudas that I want to make about. You see, so in the Velt they say there's machlokes between the Chazon Ish and Rav Tukachinsky. But there are other shitas that are also interesting shitas as well. There was a Talmud Chacham from Bnei Brak, of all places. I think he was even in the Kol Chazon Ish. His name is Rav David Yitzchaki. And he wrote articles in the Torah Journal called Or Yisrael. It comes out in Muncie. And he tied it that if you look in the maps that existed in the time of the Balamor, 90 degrees was the end of the continent. Because that's all they knew of. So the map had 90 degrees. What?
They didn't know of Marco Polo.
Yeah, right. So that was it. The Shaila is, so today we know that it exists past the... So, to me, I'll show you in the Encyclopedia Talmud, this, it's very mistaber that the dateline be? At the end of the Asian continent. Like the Bering Strait. So you should go to the end of the Asian continent and draw a line... right there, and then came out, it'll be the same as the civil dateline. Well, somewhere, you know, in this, what they call the mid-Pacific poiskim. You know, that line. And I'll show you in the Encyclopedia Talmudis.
Who's the mid-Pacific poiskim? Who's that?
So let me show you. Okay, if you take a look when the Encyclopedia Talmud is here on page 19. Here. Kunches ba gvul yom mamar shel Rabbinyamin Rabinowitz Ta'omim. Mirashi Mareches on Encyclopedia Talmudis, he wrote an article that was in the Hapardes. Hapardes was one of the classic Torah journals that probably many of you never saw, but it's in the YU library. We have all of them. You know, it comes back from a European journal, and then Rav Hapardes was in Chicago, and he continued it, and then Rav Simcha Elberg continued it, and Rav Simcha Elberg gave the Hashkacha to Coca-Cola. And there was always an ad for Coca-Cola in Hapardes, and basically the Hashkacha from Coca-Cola paid for the production of the Hapardes, came out every month for years and years and years. And then Rav Simcha Elberg passed away, and then they tried to continue it a little bit, and then the whole thing fizzled out, pardon the pun. So he writes, Meitzar bearing. Meaning the Bering Strait, at the end of the Asian continent. The end of the Asian continent, and that's where it's mistaber that it should be, because over there is the, that's why, you know, Rav David Feinstein thought, not like the Chazon Ish, some Rabbi Klein told me once, that he didn't think it was mistaber that's going to be, you know, in the middle of the, sort of what the Talmud of the Rosh says, not mistaber, it's in the middle of the Yabasha. And I thought a svara like this, you know, the whole idea is Eretz Yisrael is the Merkaz Ha'olam, Tabor Ha'aretz. So I thought to say the following idea. There is a famous sifrei on the pasuk in Ekev on page 16. Kol Mokom Ashtidrof Kach Raglechem Molochem Yel Min Amidbar Levonot. That's the concept of what? Of Kibush Rabin. That the Sifrei says that you can, the famous Tosis in Gittin, that you can be Moisif on Eretz Yisrael. And it's learned out from this pasuk. But the idea is that, as Rav Shechter once said from Rav Soloveitchik, he said like this, it's not mistaber to say that if you conquer all of Eretz Israel and then you conquer Florida, right? After you conquer Eretz Israel, now Florida has Kedushas Arts. Because it's only a din, you could be Moisif, it has to be contiguous to the land. So Mamela, I thought that's the pshat, that the whole Asian continent could technically be Eretz Israel. In other words, you see the picture. It's one mass of land. The whole Asian continent could be Eretz Israel. So then you could be most of an Eretz Israel till the end of the Asian continent, and that's the end. And that's the end. And so that's, I think, very mistaber. And then if you say like that, then basically the secular, you know, if you want to say like minaga olam vort, like some want to say, so that's a different vort. And you say, and the Minhag HaOlam has always been, as we said before, to keep Shabbos. I don't think there's probably no place in the world that the Minhag HaOlam is that they keep Shabbos on Friday or Sunday. Every place is on Saturday. But even without that word, in other words, the whole idea is that Eretz Yisrael is the central of the world. So that whole mokum of Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz Yisrael in potential is till the end of the Asian continent, because that's where you can be moisif onto Eretz Yisrael, And Mimela, anything on the, after that is a different world. So then the you have the Beren Strait, and then anything on this side would be on the western side would be Saturday, and then on the other side would be a different day. But so that's why I tell people Meikar Adin that they should keep Shabbos wherever they are on Saturday. Keep Shabbos on Saturday. If they want to be Machmir, then they can do Machmir either, in Australia to be Machmir like either Rav Tukachinsky if you're in Hawaii, or like Chazon Ish if you're in New Zealand or Japan. But that's Mitzvah Chumrah. But Meikar Adin. But the Chazon Ish, who was asking his psak, didn't work with what I'm saying. He worked with with the Yisoid Olam's thing on the Balamor, and that was it. And that's the Iker Halacha, and therefore Ad Kadei. You see, Hashkocha had it that the Mir Yeshiva, most of them already by Yom Kippur time were already in China, so they didn't have China already is not a Shaila. So they didn't have the Japan they had for Shabbos, but for the Yom Kippur Shaila, it wasn't relevant. But this,
we read Zvaryom Bimba when it comes to Kabbalos, when it comes to keeping Yom Kippur going, and so you think that Yerushalayim is it, right? Because that's where all go Aliyah Regel. And so if you are able to kind of pull everything across and basically put the whole world together, it satisfies our Yom Yom.
And that, yeah, for
and
what?
That everything, the whole world is celebrating the same day locally as Yerushalayim. That everyone's kind of, on the same calendar.
The same secular day of Saturday. But that's only because we have everyone would be celebrating, even if you say the other way, everyone's celebrating Shabbos. The question is, when does it come out in terms of our secular calendar? Right. Shabbos going to be on, it's still going to be Dvar Yom B'Yomo that it's going to be Shabbos to Shabbos. So of course it is. Now we're working with a dual, but we have if we would be in the world, would be Sakel Ol B'Mos V'Shankai, would just be Rishon B'Shabbos. We'd have a secular calendar. So here we're going to be Shabbos. The question is, once we have a secular calendar also, then that's the question. But so in the secular world, that was, they decided once, there's an island in the Pacific, Samoa, right? So they made a thing that they're going to change which side of the dateline. They made Nimnu V'Gomru, the Shilton, that we're going to change which side of Samoa, and Mimela, we're gonna change it. So Mimela, that for the first time we're gonna flip the side, and Mimela that year we're gonna go. You go to sleep Thursday night, and you're gonna wake up. It's gonna be Saturday, because we changed what side it is, and they did that because if you have an island, you have to figure out the island is doing commerce with the people on the mainland, so whichever mainland you're doing more commerce, it makes sense that you should be on that same side of the dateline as that. So that's why they changed what it is, and they said anyone who has a job on Friday will reimburse you, because you're going to lose out that year. That week there won't be a Friday, because you're going to go from Thursday, because if they switch where it is, they're going to go from Thursday to Saturday, they're going to skip Friday. And so that was what they did. But it's interesting, there's other shailas that come up of, say, when you cross the dateline and you daven. This is a shaila that comes up a lot. You daven, besides the big shailas of Shabbos, and there's some tefillah. Say you daven Shachris. And then you what? And you cross the dateline, and now you're returning the day. You daven Monday morning Shachris. Now, so should you daven Nachamol on, because you went through the day, you went Monday morning, and then you went into the night, and you went back to Monday. So did you say, I davened already Monday morning? Or did we say, no, but there was a Shkia in between. So usually you have Monday morning, then there's a shkia in between. What do? Then it's Tuesday. That's the normal thing. But if you cross the date line, wherever the date line is, the market is like a market is like, you could if Nachamos Monday. So you have to daven again Shachris, or so the different sheet is in the poskim on that. Is it? Because do we say that every time you go from day to night, so now the next day, even if it's a repeat of the same day, is this another chi of Shachris? So do we say no? Monday has only one chi of Shachris. So if you daven on Monday, you're finished. What do we say? No, Monday is chayiv, but then if there's a night, so even though after the night Monday repeats itself, you still, since there was a night in between, that now there's a new day, so it could be Monday and Nachamol Monday, and that's a big shaila in poskim, in contemporary poskim. Yeah, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said a chiddush. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said a dual chiddush. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, if you're in the middle of the Omer, so you're going from China to New York, and you're ahead a day, so you keep, look, Sfartim Lachem, you keep your own count. So you're going to be ahead. But that's so therefore, the Velt is holding by the 15th day of the Omer, and you're in the 14th day of the Omer, so you're a day ahead. So you, and then, but that's, he said even more than that. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's Shita was that therefore you're gonna get to Shavuos a day early, so you have to keep Shavuos on that day. So the rest of the world, it's Erev Shavuos for you. You started in China, so now Erev Shavuos is the Chamishim Yom. You have to keep Shavuos, so you'll keep Shavuos. So everyone else, it's Erev Yontif. For you, it's Yontif, because Shavuos, we said before, Pa'amim Hei, Pa'amim Vav, Pa'amim Zayin. Shavuos doesn't have to be, there's no dinner that Shavuos is on Vav Nisan. It's 50 days, so your count. So that was his Chiddush. And therefore, when everyone else is holding by the first day, it'll be Yontif Sheni for you. And then you'll keep the third day, just Mitan Isser Malacha, just like an Israeli. We'll keep Yontif Sheni with an Isser Malacha. It's really weekday, and that's what he passed in Lahalacha. And Rabbi Blumenkrantz, when he came out with his Pesach provision, you know, his annual Pesach digest, he put that is his Iker Shita in the sefer. In the footnote, he writes that others disagree, but that was the Shita that he felt was the Iker Shita, and the Ruba de Oilam doesn't follow this Shita, but the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that was his one of his famous psakim, was that Yisvartim Lachem is your own count, and this idea of that keep your own sphere and your own Shavuos. So I always say it's a good drasha. Everyone has the Egina Kabbalah Satira, but Lahalacha, most don't hold like this opinion. Rabbi Shippel once told me he likes to go, so he's from, you know, he's been in Australia, different parts of the world. He says once he went in the middle of Sfira, and he dafka went the other direction. You know, sometimes you go through the date line, it's quicker. But if you go the other side of the earth, you have to go all around. So he did it all around not to get involved in this shayla of going through the date line during Sfira. Okay, Rabosai, so these are some of the ideas, but there's a Rav in Lake, what's his name? He wrote a sefer. It's called Come to Me. He wrote a sefer on the international dateline. He was the shalom, the boichin, one of the boichim in Lakewood, Rabbi Taplin, Rabbi Yisrael Taplin, is his name. So he wrote a tremendous sefer called Tarich Yisrael. Basically, what he did was, and this is, you know, it's, the dateline is a fertile ground for like a Minchas Chinuch thing. Every mitzvah, like you could tie, how will the dateline be affected by this particular mitzvah? And that's what he did such a sefer like that. You know, also Vespano and other things, you know, you know, all, and it's a very lumdisha sefer, but the maisa, it's very relevant to halacha lemaisa, keeping Shabbos and davening and things like that. But this shaila about davening is a very interesting question about. Some people hold like it's one. You can only daven once on a Monday, Shachris. So others say no. Everybody told me he thought no. He thought that if you went through the daytime and the night, and now it's a new day, even though it's the same day. So what? It's the same day. But Lamai said it was a Shkia, and now a new Zericha for you. So you have to daven. He even told me once somebody was going on Hanukkah. He said they would have to say Hallel. Another day, because others disagree. It's 8 days, 8 days. Monday is Monday, and you daven for Monday yesterday, so you daven for Monday. It's a very lumdish shaila about, and then you look at Rabbi Taplin's Sefer Tarech Yisrael, you see he has a lot of lumdish shailas that are relevant to this topic.
Like if you were in Hawaii or New Zealand to be Machmir, then what does Machmir mean? You keep 2 days of Shabbos?
Right, exactly. Machmir means to keep two days
in a row of Shabbos.
Yeah, not to do malacha for 2 days. So some people keep the rice, not the rabbanon. Some people avoid, but you know. But
that's, they really, it should be a day and a half, because if you do a second Shabbos and then you're wrong, then it's like.
Yes, for malacha.
Like,
right. Even the people who are machmir to keep 2 days, it means one day you're going to have the ikar day that you're going to make kiddush on, and you get, and one day you just won't do what we call a day and a half for yontif. Right. Even though that phraseology is hard to, right. But what people call a day and a half for yontif, the same thing will be for Shabbos, just for the isser malacha. Rabbi Becher told me once that he runs tours. He runs these different tours, and he takes people to different parts. So he didn't want that he should do anything that people will pine that he's going against the Chazon Ish. So if he would go to certain islands, that it still might be shot. So we had a discussion about that. So he made sure that his tours were, you know, will. No one will have a tie in him on the tours, that there's taking people on tours on a day that Shabbos according to the Chazon Ish. But this is a fascinating machloikus, that there should be such a machloikus, in these things. But the Chazon Ish, he had a tremendous confidence, and this is where you see his confidence in Pesach Halacha, and even though others disagreed with him, but it was a tremendous thing. You should read Professor Brown's book about the Chazon Ish, and that's a whole chapter about this topic. Because again, you have to be very confident to say to the world that you could. Everyone's keeping Yom Kippur on Wednesday. You're telling them to eat on Wednesday. You have to, you know. Chazon Ish with the Chazon Ish. You can't. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.